I'm going to start off with a question. Who loves a good soak? A good soaking, whether it be in a pool or a hot tub, perhaps maybe a river, lake, a public water fountain. No, I'm just kidding. But a good soak. Marty has already said that Jesus is the water of life. Has anybody heard that before? The water of life. Now, you can apply that many different ways, you know, quench your thirst and all sorts of stuff like that. But a good soak stuff comes off. When I was young, and my mother was around, I didn't do dishes. I would leave them either at the table or I don't even know what I did with them after that, so. They would either be done by the dishes fairy, or my mom would do them, or I don't know what would happen to them. When she went to be with the Lord, then I went to go be with my aunt. And she had two sons already, and they were older than me. She had a little girl, about 6, 7, or 8 in that area, and two full-grown adults. So I went from the palace to the backside of the desert for 40 years. Amen. And in that time, I was introduced to dishes. Amen. Yeah. I didn't want to, but I didn't feel I had to. Why should I do dishes? You know what I'm saying? And so I went from the palace to being, you know, the prince to inmate number 4472. Amen. I was just now part of a family, you know, part of a system, a system that I would learn and I would adopt and actually show it to my kids because, you know, hey, if it was good enough for me, yeah, y'all are going to learn dishes too. You know, I'm not, you know, you're not going to slide and stuff. So, but one of the things I learned was soaking. Amen. Soaking the dishes. You don't just, you know, when stuff is baked on and caked on, you don't just wash it. Amen. You got to soak it. There's got to be a good soaking. It doesn't just come right off. And I didn't learn that. In fact, one time I left some stuff soaking, and I had to be responsible for the dishes that day too. So 2 days were fused into one because I thought I was slick and saying, well, that needed to soak overnight. And oh, really? That needed to soak overnight? Well, then you get to do tonight's dishes too, right? Because that's called taxation without representation. Amen. Soaking, very important, and I would learn it. Who remembers the movie? I'm going somewhere with this, by the way. Like, I'm not just talking. Who remembers the movie Catch Me If You Can? The guy who, Abagnale, right? He would do the hot checks, right? Well, who remembers when he got all the little airplanes and he put them in the bathtub to get the little labels off so they could put them on the checks? Right? But he had to soak them overnight so the labels would come off. Amen? When you soak in Jesus' presence, what labels will come off of you? Amen? What has been spoken over you, about you, in your life? What have you been called that may stick? One of the things I've been called a fat loser. And I've been called fat before on this side. And a loser before on this side, but no one's ever really combined them. And when they did, it stuck. And it's been hard to shake that off. But it's only in the presence of the Lord that he reminds me who I am. He didn't call me to be that way. But how many times do we get in an area where our label falls off and then we pick it back up because we feel that's all we're ever going to be? Like, that's all I'm going to be in the family. And when we take it and we put it back on. Amen. People speak stuff into our life, over our life, and we receive it and we hold on to it. And it's just part of our nature. And I want to talk to you today about soaking in his presence, about meditating. Because if you can worry, you can meditate. Amen. I'm going to say that again. If you can worry about what's going to happen, what could happen, what how they're going to turn off your lights, how they're going to take your car, and all those bad things. If you can worry, then you can meditate, because meditating is just the opposite of that. It's going over the God's word, the Lord's word, of what he has for you. Amen? Riches, glory. Those are the things you need to mull over, chew. A cow has four stomachs. They take in food, they chew it, regurgitate, it goes into the next stomach, and that happens four times. Okay? That's what we need to do with the word. And when we're fed something good like that, we chew it, and we mull it, we digest it, regurgitate it, take it back up. I know that sounds gross, but that's what we're supposed to do. Amen? Because in that, we absorb what he has for us. The pulling. There's a science in water. It pulls. Imagine everybody here wearing a 35-pound backpack. I mean, it won't be heavy at first, but after a while, that pulling, well, it's going to pull right here. It's going to agitate you. But that same pulling is what Jesus pulls off of you and away from you. And if he can pull enough stuff off of you, then he can place what he wants there to be there. Amen? The pulling. Who loves it when the beer bottles, when they're soaking and you can pull the labels right off? Then you can, you know, I remember I was at a party with some friends and that happened and we stuck them all over my friend's car. And it was fun. He didn't think it was fun, but we all had a good time doing it. But it's because the labels were coming right off with little to no effort. And that can happen when you soak. Now, meditating is a funny thing. Not a lot of people do it. Not a lot of people know how to do it. It's kind of like, I describe it as a nap. You would set aside 15, 20, 30 minutes for a nap. Meditation is the same thing. You set aside some time, worships you and the Lord. You can have Christian music. You can have no music. And if you plan to set a date with him, he'll always show up. He's never left me just like, Jesus, where are you at? I got things to do. No, he's always there before me. He's never missed a date. And in his presence, I can soak and things come off. I'm currently nursing a broken heart. It's been broken so many times. There's so many fractures. But in his presence, I can feel the healing. I know that when I'm laying there, just in his presence, I can feel the cracks just being filled in, polished over to where it didn't even exist before. It takes time, though. A lot of people say, well, time will heal. It's not the time. It's the time you spend with Jesus. Amen. Not the time you spend, you know, doing other things, watching TV or the other things that may make you feel better. That'll make you feel better, but it won't last long. It's in his presence. What has been spoken over you? If you can worry, you can meditate. The things that will come off when you do meditate. Sickness, lack, sadness. Those will come off. And in their place, strength, prosperity, joy. You see, there's an opposite to everything in your life. If you're coming under attack, well then, on the other side of that, there's goodness. But you have to figure it out. If you're sad, then you have to know that you want joy in its place. Who remembers Indiana Jones? Remember when he was trying to get that thing and he had to get the sandbag? And he had, you know what I mean? He had to do the switch. Who remembers that, right? No? That's an old movie? Okay. Well, anyway, the point is that you can't just take something out of your life. You have to have something in its place. Amen. You can't just say, away with sickness in my life and then just end it like that, because if you leave a void there that the enemy can fill. And if you pray sickness out, well, then he can bring in depression. Oh, he's got a list of what he can fill you with. That's why it's important you fill it with. Say, Lord, take away this. and place joy in his place. Amen. When you soak in his presence, what will come off? Labels, things that have been spoken over you, things that are not of the Bible. The Bible says we are to be kings and queens. Amen. When we went for Christmas, my cousin Michael came in the room. He came in a bit late, and he told me, "Hey, what's up, skinny?" He told me that. I kind of looked behind me and like, "What are you talking to?" Now, let's be honest. I'm not skinny. I probably never will be skinny. I think I was skinny when I was 2. And right, see, thank you. But the thing is that I don't care. That doesn't bother me. But that label, I accepted it. Like, it was a good label. And you can do that. You don't have to accept what people have told you. If they've spoken negative stuff over you, they've called you a slut, you know. Are you? Do you have to be? Or you can deny that. You can be like, no, I'm not a slut. I'm an angel. Amen? And you have to view yourself that way. Oh, well, I wasn't doing very angelic stuff last night. That's okay. We all fall short of the glory. Amen? Amen? We all fall short. No one is perfect. No. But in his image, we can be made to look somewhat perfect. Amen? In the right light, of course. I think that's the sunlight. Amen? Meditating. Soaking. Letting those things come off of you. It feels good. It is that time with Jesus that he can just massage what he wants for you to have in your life. Amen? When you come in to this church, you should view a pool. We're all just sitting in a big pool. Some of us, you know, like the shallow part. Some of us just want to, you know, read a book and, you know, be in the shallow part with our feet in the water. Some of us want to cannonball and splash our brothers and sisters. Amen. But whatever you're doing, it is a pool. Amen. It's water. That's what the worship time is. It's that water washing over you, pulling away stuff that shouldn't be there, cleansing you. Amen? Hey, who doesn't like to be clean, right? A good shower? Amen? He's the water of life. Who loves it when, like, you're congested real bad and then you get in the shower and then finally you can breathe? Oh, man, I wish I could take that shower experience with me all day long. But as soon as I step out of the shower, it's like, I can't breathe again. But it's his atmosphere. He's in the atmosphere. So you breathe him in and you can breathe better. Amen. If he's in the atmosphere right now, I'd like to go over some exercises. Okay. This is like breathing exercises to where you breathe in his goodness and breathe out anything that's bothering you. Like, amen. Like that's what this is something I do when I'm under stress. This is an exercise I do when I'm sitting there. I breathe in his goodness, just like if I was in a shower. And that all that congestion of what people have told me who I am and you know, how stupid I am and all that stuff. You know what I mean? I breathe in what his plan is for me and out with all the negativity. Can we all just do that together, collectively? Just breathe in his breath. It's like you're in a shower and your nose was congested. Just, and then out with all that bad breath and all that bad attitude and unforgiveness. Just let it out. That those are the type of things. Those are the types of things that Jesus, he wants you to feel good. He wants you to know goodness. He didn't want us to know depression. He didn't want us to know sadness. He wanted us to know joy and happiness, but we have to accept that. And sometimes it's a fight. It's not easy. And that's why it's important to lay in his presence, to just be there meditating. And a lot of times it can start off as a prayer. You can start off in praise and in the middle of it, you know, a lot of times when I lay down, I, you know, first thing I say is, Lord, why couldn't you have made me a football player? You know, first thing I'll say, you know, and then, and then I'll laugh and then I'll cry a little and I go through these emotions and stuff. And that's the way it should be because, you know, I mean, he's talking to you and there's, you know, there's a little bit of a dialogue there. And it, because it's a date, you know, y'all are talking together. Not like the dates I see where, you know, the couple gets to the bar and the first thing they do is get on their phone. You ever seen that? They're both looking down. You're on a date. You haven't seen each other. Talk to each other. Jesus is the same way. Put your phone aside. Amen. Turn off what needs to be turned off and just allow some time. And let him control time. He's the one that held the sun in the air so he can hold that phone. He can hold that TV show. He can hold those things that you may think are important. But if you place him first in your life, I'm going to say that again. You place him first in your life, then he takes care of everything behind you, the things that you're worried about. And he knows what you're worried about. He knows. He knows what's on your heart. He knows what you're concerned about, and you can bring it up, or you cannot bring it up, but he knows. Amen? Let him work those things out during prayer and meditation. And like I said, sometimes I've meditated sometimes for an hour, and it's felt good, and I wake up refreshed. It's like a recharge. Amen? And we need that. We're spiritual creatures. Even though we operate in the natural, there's a spiritual part of us. And tapping into that will help manifest what you want in the natural. Amen? That one's kind of good. I like that one. The Holy Spirit guided me with that. I had nothing to do with it, to be honest with you. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus will meet you there. When you set aside time for him, he will meet you there. A lot of people think that Jesus is too busy with other things. You're the apple of his eye. He loves you. And a lot of us don't realize that. A lot of us think, well, you know, because of what I did last week, I'm probably bottom of the list. No. It's not about what you've done. It's about who you are. You're his. You're his precious one. And see yourself as that. Amen? It took me a while to realize that. I didn't think I was special at all. I used to come to Jesus with all my flaws and think about how much I haven't done and how good I really am not and how undeserving I am. And I would talk myself out of it before I even got to church. Talk myself out of blessings and how I don't deserve them. Doing the enemy's job. Amen? If I can just close my eyes and feel his presence, like we are here. You should picture your car getting washed. Anybody like having their car getting washed? I love having my car. I feel like a boss when my car is washed. You know, you give your keys, you know what I mean? You give them the tip and your car is nice. It's clean. You know what I mean? It smells good. But like a car wash, when you first walk in that door, like, you should visualize those people up there, like, just brushing already the mud off of your bumper. Just, amen? And when you're sitting there, you just feel the bristles just going over you. Because that's what it is. It is the water of life. It is Jesus cleaning you up, getting you prepared for where you've been. And we all go to different places. You know what I mean? Some of us go to sandy places and we have, you know, sand in our butts and stuff. You know what I mean? Some of us go to dusty roads. Stay with me. Come on. I'm going somewhere. We go down these dusty roads and we're all going down to different places. We're all traveling different journeys and we're all getting dirty. Amen. And this is where you come to get clean. So when you come here, you're getting washed. And that when you come to the altar and Marty puts the oil on you, that's just the new car smell. That's just the pina colada was, I like that pina colada one. It smells so sweet. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what you need to visualize. Don't visualize just coming to a place, a church, a chair. You know, that you're missing it. You're losing it. Because that's what it is. It is him cleaning you up, washing you up, getting you ready. So that when you hit the road and you leave here, you're ready to go, man. You just, you know what I mean? All that dirt just off of you, and you can probably just go faster too. You ever heard anybody? Like with all that dirt, your car can just go faster. That's not true, but it feels true. I mean, and when you leave here, that's what you should visualize. Being clean, being ready to go, because you're going to go out there and get dirty again. That's just what's going to happen, you know? That's why church was created. So that somewhere we can go somewhere to go to soak, get cleaned up. You know what I mean? This is the water. And it's more than that. It's more than just a washing. It goes deeper than that we can see. You know, I come up with these analogies so that you can visualize what I feel when I come to church. Amen? Because when I'm sitting there, man, I feel them bristles just going through all of my ears, back of the ear right here, where it's really greasy. You know what I mean? Getting all that stuff that only Jesus can reach. Only he can get off of you. You're not going to get it off of you with alcohol. You're not going to get it off of you with you know, any type of food or anything else that you may use to fill the void. Only him. Amen? The water of life. I've come up with some analogies. It's what the good Lord has told me that you're good at. Because I want you to do that more. I want more analogies. I want you to tell the people. Because I didn't like doing that. I kind of felt like, why do I get to give them analogies? You know, but it's what the good Lord has gifted me with, that I can liken something you might understand, so that maybe it's better for you. And so the next time you're in here, you're visualizing a pool, a hot tub, anything with water that's relaxing. Amen? And if it can help you get from point A to point B, that's what's important. And that's what I want for your life. Like, I want you to like, I gotta go get my car washed today. Amen? I gotta go soak in the hot tub today. Amen? Cause that's what it is. Even though you can't tell that's what it is. That's what's going on right now. We're all underwater. Cause he floods the atmosphere with his presence. But we can miss it if we're just thinking that it's just chair and a guy up here talking and that dude back there on the camera and stuff like that. You know, it's more than that. Amen? In closing, I want you to remember what can come off of you when you do soak in his presence. Visualize what may be on you that you don't even know. Am I sad? Am I truly happy? Lord, if I am not, then take away what's not there and place what you want to be there, Father. Amen? Because that's what being in his presence should be about, is just relaxing. It can be some prayer. It can be some, you know, giving thanks. But for the most part, just being held like a baby. That's what I like, the peace. That's why sometimes I fall asleep during meditation. It's okay. Because a lot of times we have so much turmoil in our life and we're just like a leaf in the wind, just being whipped around, and you're just, when you get to some place that's peaceful, you want to stay there. You don't want to leave. Because peace is nice and not everybody has it. And it's so easy to lose. Like right now we're receiving peace, but as soon as you get out there, it won't be long before somebody gets in your face and tells you something. Like, oh, that's ugly shoes, or oh, look at your hair, it's all messy, or, you know, and they're gonna come at you a certain way. Not just because you're you, but because you're his. And the enemy doesn't want you to be happy like that. The enemy wants you to be stuck. The enemy wants you to stay in a place where you're holding on to unforgiveness, and you're holding on to things that are holding you back from moving forward. like Pastor was saying about your hand being closed, and you can't receive what the good Lord has for you when your hand is closed, when your hands are in your pockets and you're just stuck. Like, I'm never going to be happy. I'm never going to have a girl or a man, or I'm never going to have a good job. I'm always going to be like this. No, you're not. Your past does not dictate your future. Amen. The Bible says your best days are ahead of you. Ahead of you. Good times ahead of you. Can we see them? No. All we can see is what we've done wrong and how we've fallen short, how that person's better and why that person is blessed, because they probably go to church more. They probably give more, so they deserve to be blessed. That's not true. Amen. It's not about money. It's not about any of that. It's not about how good you are. The Bible says your good works are like filthy rags, Tim. That was hard for me to receive in the beginning as a Christian. I was like, what do you mean my good works? So all the good stuff I did was nothing? Yeah, I get no credit for that? And no, you don't. Because they're like filthy rags. And did you do it in Jesus' name? You know, did you do it to benefit yourself? You know, were you only nice to that girl because she was pretty? You know, Lionel. Amen. No, I mean, I'm preaching to myself here, because sometimes I can find myself being cool to people that I only think that are cool. Amen. And that's not right, because we're all God's children. And we're here to love the unlovable. In fact, if someone's in your presence and that's who Jesus wants you to love. I know it doesn't sound fair, but it is. Trust me. And the more you embrace that of loving those who are very difficult to love, very, very difficult to love. There's a challenge there, and that's your test. Amen. It won't be easy, but you know, if you can embrace it and do what you can, you'll pass with flying colors. Amen? Amen. I'm going to end there. Thank you.
Coming to get soaked. We're going to get soaked. Use an analogy. Probably only in this house. How many of you like taking the labels off the beer? And y'all went. Were you in my house, Lionel? But see, sometimes we don't get to that place because we're afraid of what label's there. And we get blinded by what's been put there by others, or what's been opposing us, what's been standing there to keep us from receiving. And as he was ministering, it reminded me of the story. How many of you remember the story when Jesus spit in the man's eye? Some of you that don't, I'm going to just share it with you. It's in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verse 22. It says, then came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, do you see anything? Verse 24, and he looked up and said, I see people that look like trees walking around. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were open. His sight was restored and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, don't even go into the village. What happens is people put that label on you and they want to see if God can do anything. If God can really change that label and really take it off of you, or you're going to accept what society or what man has put on you by words. So then Jesus takes him by the hand and takes him away from the naysayers and the ones that have put a label on him. Sometimes you got to be taken out of the place of your negative influences so God can do a certain thing in your life to bring healing to the area that the label's been put on. But if you, watch this, if you don't open your hand to take the hand of Jesus, you'll be stuck in the same village where the people recognize you the way you were. Oh, look. Maybe I should start naming some of the labels. Because sometimes your anger and your bitterness and your unforgiveness is what's kept you being labeled as a bitter person around the area of influence that you're associated with. And they bring you, watch this, they bring you to Jesus. Heal this person. We don't had enough. So Jesus says, you know what? It's time for me to get this person out of this area of influence so that I can spit in their eyes because they're not seeing clearly the plan and purpose that I have for their life. And it's evident because the next thing you hear that when Jesus asks, what do you see? Their vision is distorted. What they're seeing has not registered with what it is. There's two different dynamics taking place. I see people like trees walking around. See, something's God has to do to get into your spirit and into your mind that you are not going to continue to see things in error. Then he does it one more time. How many of you would like to have a second touch? How many of you would like to have a second touch from Jesus? Jesus could have said, look, I just took you by your hand and took you away from all these people that are getting sick and tired of your attitude and they want me to heal you. I'm going to take you outside of that place and I'm going to spit in your eyes and then you still don't not heal correctly, but I didn't leave you. I still stay right with you. Some of you are afraid that because he touched you one time that that was enough to get you through. You need to have more encounters with Jesus. You need to have more time in his presence. And then regardless if you mess up in the way you see or hear things, what he's asking you may be distorted. He's still standing right there and going to ask you one more time. What do you see? I need you to see clearly, but watch what it says. Now that he was seeing and perceiving correctly, he says, don't go back to the village. Don't go back to the place that's going to keep you in bondage by what the label that they've had on your life, because they're not ready to receive this new label that I put on you. You're no longer a servant. Now you become a son and a daughter of the Most High God. And if you don't listen to this change, you're going to go back into being a slave because you go back to that village in which you were making your home. God is trying to transition you out to get you to a new place. He's never stopped wanting to get you to places that are higher than you've ever been. Maybe you've studied the scriptures and you know every single thing that you're supposed to do. Maybe you know it so well. You know every definition. You know every law of the scriptures. You know every festival. You know how to participate in every festival. You know how to fast. You know how to pray. But you don't know how to walk it out. I don't care what it says that you're supposed to do, because if you're not doing it, you're still in rebellion. And if you're rebelling, you're rebelling against God. It is time to put the word of God to use, activate it, and do. He said to the man, don't go back. Don't get caught up in your religious systems and not make change to your life. Don't get caught up in being in a place that looks like church. Maybe I'm going to send you to a gym so I can work you out. Maybe I'm going to send you someplace that doesn't look like a church so I can get to where I need to get to you. So I can break down every religious mindset that you carry with you. Maybe there's not a praise team because maybe I need you to learn how to praise me. Maybe I don't have a choir because I want you to sing from within to worship me. Maybe I don't have an altar. I need your heart to be the altar. I need your mind to understand that I'm with you everywhere you go. I got to take you out of a place and tell you don't go back. Because if you put yourself back in that system one more time, you'll miss what I have for you. You'll miss what I'm really going to bring you into. Because you're so caught up of how you want it to look like. And your perception is off. I see people walking like trees. The label that he's put on you is that of royalty. Royalty. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Brother, I need you to come up with a higher note. I need to go up with something. I got something in my spirit that needs to come out. I need you to understand something. I've been dealing with this spirit that lingers over this house for too long. And it lingers in the people of God because they don't want change. Because they expect things to be a certain way. And I'm sick and tired of people not making change in their life because they want it a certain way. If you go to a doctor and take the prescription that the doctor tells you to do, guess what? You're going to get better. But if you don't take the prescription that he's dealing for you, you're not going to get better. And here's the prescription. Take 2 doses in the morning of Jesus. And in the afternoon, take 2 more doses of Jesus. And before you lay your head down, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the prescription of your presence. Thank you for allowing me to soak in your presence. And it don't matter what I did today, my future is still bright with you. There's nothing that can deter me from your presence. We are walking as the royal priesthood of God. We are ambassadors for the kingdom of God. The label has been removed. Don't go back to it. Don't go back to it. Because if you go back to it, 7 times greater, you will be in bondage. Woo, you better hear this. You better hear what I'm telling you. There is a religious demon you may get rid of one Sunday, but it's waiting for 7 more if you don't change your heart and your mind. Apply the word. Don't go back to that village. Don't go back to that place. You can't put what God has torn down. Jesus said unto the religious folks, tear down this temple. But in 3 days, it'll be rebuilt again. But he didn't say it was going to be built by man's hands. It was by the Spirit. Are you understanding this? Don't go back. Don't go back to where you've been. You can't go back. Because if you go back, it's coming back 7 times greater. Whatever you face, whatever you dealt with, is coming back 7 times greater. And I don't know about you, but I know when every time I read in scripture about number 7, it speaks of rest and finality. Well, you better understand something here. If he's going to send 7 demons back stronger than the one before, you're going to become a more messed up religious somebody if the religious spirit's left one time and you allow it right back in. Don't go back to that system. Don't go back to that place. Continue to work and walk out the very thing that God has had in store for you. Amen. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet.